We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
3 seconds left to go in Denver. There's the horn. Denver wins game one, round one. They take care of the LA Lakers. Final tonight, 114-103.
Thank you to the Altitude Sports Network. Now, this one was from Saturday night, but we got to talk about it. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. This was a Lakers team, Perloff, that gave the Nuggets a really good fight in this game and still came up wildly short.
Wow, it's funny. I feel like I've heard that story before. Every Lakers-Nuggets game going back for 2 years? Yeah, I mean, they just do not. They don't have the legs. They don't have the horse. I don't know what it is. They do not have enough to finish the Nuggets in any game.
Right. So what we know, and after we saw game one, which is one you really thought that the Lakers were going to have to steal, they end up losing. They go down 0-1. We'll get game two tonight. Here's where we're going to be early to the conversation. So never let anyone tell you that Maggie and Perloff didn't call something before it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And here's what's going to happen. LeBron James is looking at how they're playing against the Nuggets, how the Lakers are really have one of their best teams that he's played on, and how short and woefully short they're coming up against Denver. Guys, if you don't think LeBron is planning an exit out of LA, you have not been paying attention to the last 20 years of his career. He can opt out after this year. He's already been in the LA longer than Miami, longer than the second stint in Cleveland. And when he left the Miami Heat, it was because they lost to the San Antonio Spurs 4-1 in the finals. When he left Cleveland the second time, it was because they lost 0-4 to Golden State, again, in the finals. He's not even sniffing the finals now. To think that he's just going to sit there and let this happen while he's still extending his prime, like the later parts of his prime, you're just not paying attention to LeBron if you don't see how he's calculating a way out of LA.
Okay, but where's he going to go? Any move will make him look bad. If he tries, he has two options. Either go to a contender that's right on the brink of a title and be a bus rider on that.
Sure.
Or just go out in the second round in some other team. What's the difference? If you're not going to win a title, why not just stay in L.A., pray and hope that they get some other star this offseason? Because I think going to another team could really kind of hurt his legacy. Because he'll look like a follower, much like it'll kind of kill him in the Jordan. Say he went to Boston or Denver, which is probably the only places where he's guaranteed a title. Won't that be terrible for him?
Well, I don't know if he could go to Boston or Denver. I don't know if it would be like that. I could see him going to Dallas. I could see him going to Golden State. Now, I don't know if it's going to work, but I think he will do whatever he can to try to get closer. He's not close right now with LA. And as far as like the legacy taking a hit, I think LeBron's already moved past all that stuff, right? He got so wildly unpopular after the decision, brought some people back after he won the title in Cleveland. Then he goes to L.A., wins a bubble title. You know, it's in front of no fans. Yeah. It's a little bit of one of those weird things. We're used to him switching teams. Cleveland, Miami, back to Cleveland, L.A. To me, that I don't think that's going to stick with him. People know that he's either, you think he's the best or the second best player of all time. He's got every accolade in the book. He's got almost every record in the book. At this point, I don't think changing teams does much for him. I don't think the bus rider thing applies to him.
I do. I think that bus rider thing, I mean, they're still killing KD for it. They're still secretly killing LeBron for it from 12 years ago. If he did it again, because if he goes to Dallas or Golden State, he easily might not get out of the first round on either of those teams. That is not a ready-made anything.
Well, that's the same as what's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point. Like, if he wants to go to win something, I'm not sure you go to like a guard-laden team with ball-dominant point guards. I think he should, if he really wants to win, he has to find a young star to team up with. And I think that'll look like, oh my gosh, I'm just here to try and chase another ring. It'll feel like Gary Peyton and Karl Malone with the Lakers if he goes to a real championship team, because he's not good enough to carry a team that's sort of, basically, you saw it on Saturday night. Like, he's great in the first quarter. He has no legs to go four quarters.
Yeah.
So he can't go to a medium team. He's got to go to something like where he is probably the third or fourth option.
Okay, but I don't think he's going to get killed for that. I think that people are going to look at him and say, wow, savvy LeBron didn't just sit on his heels in L.A., went to go find another thing.
Oh, my God.
And to attach himself to a young star, that's smart. I mean, that's basically what he did with Anthony Davis. Now, it didn't end up kind of working that way, but I think that was the thought process was, hey, I got Anthony Davis. He's not happy in New Orleans. We can pluck him out of there, get him to L.A., and this is how I'm going to finish the rest of my career, sort of on the back a little bit of Anthony Davis. So I think he already conceded that if I'm going to win more titles, I might not be able to be the best player on a championship team right now.
Wait. But just to take a step back, you don't think LeBron would get killed for this move?
I really don't.
Oh, come on.
I really don't.
LeBron will get killed for any move. He's LeBron. Okay. Anything he does, but that particularly, say he's like, I want to go to OKC or Minnesota, people would destroy him for him and be like, oh, you are ridiculous.
See, I think people have already made up their mind. We're talking about LeBron James. They lose to the Nuggets on Saturday night, and I think he's plotting his exit out of L.A. because they can't get close to the Nuggets, and this is just going to be a when, not if situation that they're going to lose this series. I think that especially if he went to a smaller market, if you went to OKC or Minnesota, I think he'd be lauded. Like, wow, look how much he really wants to win a title. Wow. He left L.A., left Bronny, left everybody, and decided to go to the thing that matters, which is winning. Kevin Durant left OKC.
Yeah.
He never wanted to go to a small market again.
You think in this country of America, everyone would say, LeBron James, you are such a good dude for going to Oklahoma City, the number one seed, in the West, or Minnesota with two young superstars.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's really how things work with LeBron. I think that is lauded. I mean, it's the exact opposite. It would be, you'd have to put yellow crime tape around Twitter for a month because people would kill him so badly.
No, I don't think so. I think honestly, if he went to OKC or Minnesota, I think people had more respect than if he went to Denver or if he went to Boston.
Yeah,
at least you're going to an up-and-coming team, not a team that's already has major, major expectations.
I think it'd be sad if he went to Oklahoma City. Like, it's just like... It just feels like such a ring-chasing move. Like, he's got to be sensitive to that. He's got to be sensitive.
But the Lakers was a ring-chasing move.
Ring-chasing's not good, Maggie. I think that, obviously, I'll do the Jordan thing. Like, Jordan did the opposite. He went to Washington, where the universe will never allow a ring to come back there. It was the opposite of a ring-chasing move. I just do not see this happening at all. I think he's honestly more likely to try and bring... I mean, it's not going to be great. He'll probably try to bring a star to the Lakers. Everyone's talking about Trae Young.
Yep.
I think that's a more likely scenario because I just don't think he, yes, I'll bet you he wants to go. I guarantee that. But I think he is, like me, worried about his reputation. Like, he cannot go to a ready-made champion and win one at 40 playing 17 minutes a game or something. Well, I know he won't play more than that. But he's getting old, too. Like, there's a realistic issue here that... Can he win another one? Like, will he help the Oklahoma City Thunder? Will he help the T-Wolves?
Okay, see, that's the other part where I think this could work here. And I'm not sure it's OKC or Minnesota. I think it could be Dallas. I think it could be Golden State. I just think that LeBron is looking at his options here. And if you don't think so, then again, you're just not paying attention to his career. You know, why would he stop doing what he's done for 20 years, which is always trying to find and plot out? I'm not saying it's like a negative, but just trying to navigate where the next title opportunity is. And again, I think that people have made up their mind already about LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, Pete doesn't like him. And it will be really hard to ever change Pete Pilotti's mind.
Right.
So LeBron can't be worried about getting Pete back. He's never going to get Pete back.
Right.
So he might as well do the thing, which is try to find a place that actually has a lot more, quite frankly, upside right now than L.A. And I like the Lakers team. This is not an indictment necessarily, but I watched them play against the Nuggets. I'm like, man, they are really playing well through three quarters, maybe three and a half. They're really throwing haymakers, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, but did you see after the first quarter, what was LeBron? I mean, did he do anything? Not much. Obviously, you can't have D'Angelo Russell play like that. That's a problem. I guess getting back to what you're saying, like, that is ridiculous to say that LeBron can't hurt his legacy with this final move.
No.
Jordan kind of a little bit hurt the legacy by missing dunks in the Wizards, getting crossed over by Iverson. Like, that wasn't good. LeBron, you know, he's
got
this
playoffs.
He's got this podcast with JJ Redick. Do you think he wants, you know, he's talking about how he's his basketball genius. Do you think he wants to just go on to the best possible team and win another ring? Like, it kind of just like, he would sound ridiculous on this podcast.
So what's who cares about the podcast?
He's got to break. First of all, I would just focus on Bronny and bring another star to LA and just keep it in house and try to hope somebody gets hurt on the Nuggets, because that's the only
it's
team.
It's not a strategy. This is LeBron we're talking about. If he was just waiting around for people to get hurt, he still would have spent an entire career in Cleveland, and who knows if he ever even wins a ring.
So go to Denver then. I mean, going to Golden State, that's a terrible idea, because it's like, wait a second, we're not as talented as LA. I mean, as the Nuggets, so why don't I go to a much less talented team with no front court players that can handle this at all?
Well, I'm wondering, because he's going to try, I think he would try to attach himself to a younger star. Like, I think Luka could be the guy. We know that he loves Kyrie. I don't know what Kyrie's situation is going to be after this year. He wants to play with Kyrie again. They've already said that. And I'm wondering if maybe they get Draymond to come on over. Like, I think there's maneuvering that is going to happen here.
Does that team even make the playoffs? I mean, that is an awful combination of players. LeBron's going to sit there and watch Luka dribble for 48 minutes and be like, wow, this is exciting stuff.
Listen, I think that he's plotting. And I think you guys are all crazy if you think he's not. Because, again, what have we seen from him? Like, you don't think LeBron's got one more move up his sleeve? No way. Not with him playing this well. Like, I know it didn't go great in game one, but he still is playing extremely high level. He still thinks he can win a ring. He still thinks he can be a valuable member of a contributing team. And I don't think he cares what anyone thinks at this point. I really don't. You know, the legacy, how many things could he point to where his legacy is set in stone? And again, he's never getting back the people who abandoned him after the decision. So why? Who cares about that? Who cares what other people think?
It's embarrassing. I mean, it just... To be a quote-unquote ring chaser when you're one of the top two players of all time, it's just not a good look.
But what's more embarrassing? Michael Jordan came back to two totally non-memorable seasons with Washington and now has done everything in his power to try to scrub those two seasons from the history of the NBA.
What's more embarrassing? LeBron ring chasing at a place where it's a ready-made champion next year where he only has to do a little bit. That would be embarrassing.
Oh, wow. I disagree on that. This is another way you kind of know that LeBron might be looking for the exits here. Let's hear from LeBron, because he was talking after game one against the Nuggets that championship teams, what they need is to pay attention to details.
Well, I've never played on a championship team that didn't pay attention to detail. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to.
Yeah, and I think kind of implying this team's not. This team's not paying attention to detail, which is one of the reasons why they lost in this game. And so I think he's kind of doing that thing that LeBron does. You know, it's like the breadcrumbs kind of are there. He's checking out, surveying the landscape of the league. Sometimes he's done this to a T, and sometimes he's not done it, right? To a T is when he left Miami to go to Cleveland, that Cleveland team that had just taken Anthony Bennett with the number one overall pick, had another number one overall pick in back-to-back years, traded away Wiggins for Kevin Love, and he read that perfectly, right, to team up with Kyrie, and that was a really great, great idea. Not so great was to bring, like, Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. You know, so LeBron's had some hits and misses here when he tries to play GM, but he's got to be surveying the league and wondering, where can I fit here and how can I squeeze every last bit out of the end of my career?
Yeah, I mean, I would also, if I were him and this is the calculus ahead of me, I would think about calling it quits. I mean, dude's 40. It's not going to go well next year, right? I mean, what are the odds that he keeps ascending? And
we said that about 38 and 39.
Yeah, and it's not going quite as well as I think you're painting the picture. Like, he's good right now, but if he's the best player on your team, you're not winning anything. So,
but he knows that.
But how can he be how can you really be a role player and be LeBron James? It feels weird to me.
The bubble title, Davis was the best player on the floor.
It was different though. I'm saying, can he really be the third option on a team? He certainly wasn't a third option on the bubble title team. He was LeBron.
Yeah.
And he's still really good now, but it just feels like if he really wants to win a championship, he has to find a place on a team like the Nuggets, who are just really well-rounded and really good, where a team like the Mavs or the Warriors, to me, that feels like a really dangerous situation. Like, it could look bad for LeBron. If I was him, if you really want a ring chase, just go to Boston, where he hates.
I don't think he'd do that. A Golden State, let's not also take that one off the table.
Yeah.
855-212-4227. Would you think less of LeBron if he went to another team to try to get a ring? I don't think so. I think people would laud him for it. Look at how bad this guy wants to win.
Let's do a poll.
Yeah. You want to put it out on your social media, or do you want to put it on our social media?
I mean, this is going to be, I don't mean to be overconfident, poll, but this is going to be a slaughter.
Wow. You're the real, you're the Anthony Edwards of polls this morning?
I mean, it is going to be.
Wrecking fools?
Would you think, if you were to, would you think more or less of LeBron if he left the Lakers to join the Mavs or the Warriors next season? I mean, come on. It just sounds bad. You have to admit that does not sound
great.
Right. Think more of, like, man, LeBron, you are such a baller that you're leaving this team that you've built to go to a better team. That's, I think, so much more of you. You know how this works, Maggie? LeBron could do something completely neutral and 80% of the people would hate it.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter because I'm talking about basketball. And I'm talking about giving yourself a better chance to win.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. We have competing polls up. I have one up on Twitter, and Maggie has one up on Twitter. You can follow me at Andrew Perloff. She's at Maggie Gray. The question is, I said, what was my wording? Hold on. Yours was, you do yours first, because you used the word respect.
Yeah, I said, would you respect LeBron James more or less if he left the Lakers to join a better team? More, go win more titles, or less, ring chasing is lame. I'm being honest out there. Yeah. I'm voting on my own poll to say I would respect him more.
You'd respect him for, you even called it ring chasing.
It's fine.
You respect ring chasing?
See, I don't consider him like this is not a glob on where you're the 10th guy on the bench.
Yeah.
And you get to say, oh, I won a ring once. You're going to still be LeBron James. You're still going to matter. You're still going to be a factor. You're going to have earned that ring.
Actually, okay, so I said, would you think more or less of LeBron if he left the Lakers to join the Mavs or Warriors, two teams that you mentioned, which make a lot of sense? 77% say less. I thought it was going to be like 90%. How can you know how this works, Maggie. The worst thing you can be called in NBA is a ring chaser or a bus rider. Or like, this is the kind of player we're talking about. Like, KD will never get over that. And honestly, LeBron, I think, did a lot to get over the Heatles thing, the fact that he had to join Miami to win a title by winning one in Cleveland. I think he would kill some of that goodwill legacy-wise if he actually joined somebody good enough to win. See, I don't think that Dallas or Golden State is going to win anything with LeBron.
He might get closer. He's not winning anything with this Lakers team. Our very own Andrew Kaplan in our chat, Infinity Sportsnet on YouTube and Twitch, he said, I would respect him more for leaving. Also points out LeBron won't be 40 until next December. So, and I'm with Cap on this one. I would respect him more for leaving. Going to sit here in L.A. and you're just going to keep getting whitewashed by the Nuggets? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
But if he, to really win, he has to go to Denver or Boston, that would look terrible. If he goes to Dallas, there's no way he's getting out of the West. I mean, he's going to the same exact place.
You had, really the best game of the entire NBA playoffs was last night, probably. I mean, that was the closest game. Oklahoma City, the Pelicans had 20 ties, 20 lead changes came down to the final minute, but ultimately, final seconds, ultimately, home teams go 8-0 in these opening rounds. First time since, 2013 or something. So, you know, we're just getting our toes dipped in the water here on this.
The water sucks because everybody's hurt. So, I mean, like, honestly, the Pels without Zion Williamson, that's like watching, I can't even tell you how disappointing that is. That's like having a meal that should be good, but it's totally flavorless.
Can I nitpick a little on last night's game just for a second? If you weren't way awake, it was late. It ended after midnight on the East Coast, but it was an exciting game. I mean, it did come down to the final second, came down to maybe a bad call that was an out-of-bounds call that ended up first being called a jump ball by Tony Brothers, and then the OKC decided to challenge it, and they actually overturned it and gave it to the Pelicans. Okay, it didn't end up mattering because OKC wins the game. It was a Chet Holmgren, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, really clutched down the stretch. Why, if you have the Pelicans and you've got one final possession and you had, 12 seconds to set something up, why are you not running a play for Brandon Ingram? I don't understand this. The C.J. McCollum, Brandon Ingram had been good in that game. McCollum was fine. Can you not set up a play for Brandon Ingram? Am I alone here? All right.
No, I agree. I agree. I think C.J. McCollum stinks.
I
think he is a shell of himself. And you're down two. Like, go for a high percentage shot. The Brandon Ingram mid-range is their best chance, and they go for a 29-foot three.
I just couldn't believe it. And he got the ball poked away from him, too, by the defender. And so then it was like a scramble, and he's trying to lean into a three. I know Willie Green's a really good coach, but you got to dial something up there for Ingram, in my opinion. Andrew Bogish is here. He's got headlines. Hello.
Good morning, guys. Those headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. We'll start in OKC because that was the only game that gave us any drama yesterday.
Shake, jab steps, drive, splits defenders, floats it up across his body, counts, and it goes! Gilgeous Alexander rips the course from 13 and one coming. Thunder 92, the Pelicans 90 with 32.5 to play.
That's Matt Pinto, Thunder Radio MVP finalist Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the tie-breaking three-point play with 32 seconds left in game one with those Pels. OKC held on for a 94-92 win with SGA scoring 28.
Everyone that came in kind of played their role. Gave good minutes. All 11 guys did their part in the reason why we won tonight.
And as Perloff mentioned, New Orleans didn't have one of its best players in Zion thanks to that hamstring injury. No Giannis for the Bucks, but they still took care of the Pacers 109-94 with Damian Lillard scoring 35 all in the first half. The Clippers thumped the Mavs in their game one 109-97. Vintage James Harden, 28 points and 8 assists, and the Celtics steamrolled the Heat, 114-94. Jason Tatum, his first career postseason triple-double, 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. The best playoff game of the day, though, was on ice in Winnipeg.
Grabbed by Shankly, back in and back in behind the net, from Lardy on it, from retiring shot, he scores! Kyle Connor with his second of the night! And there's Vilardi and Shifley again. That line has been dynamite. And Winnipeg regains a three-goal lead.
That's from Jets Radio. Winnipeg and Colorado were 3-3 after one in their opener. That Kyle Connor goal made it 7-4 Jets in the third. They held on for a 7-6 thriller. The Canucks scored three in the third to take game one from Nashville 4-2. The Rangers down the Caps 4-1. And the Panthers held off the Lightning 3-2. As we discussed last week, the Yankee radio booth lost John Sterling to retirement. Yesterday, Mets radio almost lost Pat McCarthy to a foul ball.
Grant Hartwig, who was optioned the other day, is eligible to come back because of the injury. As Outwin swings and pops one up just over our heads, and it goes right off my chest. Oh, I missed it.
Ow. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Is the laptop alive?
I don't know. Oh, I got blinded by the top, and it came down and drilled me.
Excuses, excuses.
Wait, did it ricochet and hit him in the chest, with Sterling?
It hit him first, then the laptop. He's fine. The laptop is not, as far as I know at the moment, but yeah, body first, then laptop. But the laptop made more noise,
hear in the call. Imagine there. Imagine getting hit in the chest.
Yeah. Not good.
Also, why didn't you catch it?
Yeah, what happened?
Also that.
Did he miss?
He said he was blinded.
I think he said the overhang messed him up.
Mm. Bad excuse.
Bad excuse. Got to make a
play. Freaking baseball.
Got him. Although I made a one-handed attempt at a line drive recently to, I thought, save a kid from a foul ball at a Little League game.
Wow.
And I thought my hand was going to explode.
So, you're a real hero, though, Bogues.
Did you get, you just got a fingertip on the ball or what?
No, like the bottom of my left thumb. And I didn't want to look at my hands. I thought it was like mangled from like a, you know, some kind of like IED, but it was okay.
And this is off the bat of a 9-year-old?
10, but as you know, those bats are basically like thunderbolts
these days.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Aluminum.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it!
So it had some juice.
You know, I realize we sit here in a cushy studio and people don't think that our jobs have a lot of danger involved in it. And obviously compared to, you know, people out there working construction and doing really, really dangerous things, you know, ice fishing or whatever. We don't hold
that was
a candle.
So bull.
Sorry. But
what? Ice fishing?
No, not ice fishing. You know, like when they're out, the Alaska people have to catch the fish. It's like world's most dangerous
job. Deadliest catch.
Thank
ice fishing, you can have a 24-pack of beer. Totally fine. Yeah.
Sorry, not ice fishing. Deadliest catch. the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever had to do. I was actually just thinking about this the other day. I had to have my back to BP at Yankee Stadium once doing an interview with somebody. That is the most nerve-wracking thing. I just, every second, I was sitting across from somebody, we're doing an interview, and I had my back to Yankees, Royals, BP.
But you're in the dugout.
No, I wasn't in the dugout. I was down the third baseline. Yeah. I'm like, do you understand? The only good thing is I probably will be unconscious. I'm not going to feel it because it's going to either make my head explode and it's going to crack my skull if I get hit with one of these, or I'm just going to be unconscious and like, that's it.
There is like a crazy video of a woman in your same exact situation. And I feel like all that, you can see the ball coming, all of a sudden just a glove appears and catches it like right at the back of her head.
Oh, wow. Like Luis Guillerme?
Yeah.
Guillerme caught a foul ball?
Because you're right. You're in a danger zone down those lines. And every thwack, you're thinking, that's coming from me.
Why wouldn't you get protection from the turtle? Didn't you move, like, wouldn't you move so that the turtle, the thing that, you know, they put behind him for the batting practice?
So they would only let us be in a certain part of the field.
Yeah.
And so I have my back just to a Major League Baseball professional batting practice is like, felt like taking my life in my hand.
That's reckless.
It was reckless.
Steinbrenners were trying to kill you.
It's funny because usually the Dolans are the ones who are trying to kill me. I'm pretty cool with the Steinbrenners, actually, ironically.
Baseball last night, the Rangers avoided a 3-game sweep in Atlanta's 6-4, ending the Braves' overall 6-game win streak. Nelly Korda might be Caitlin Clark plus Scottie Scheffler. She has now won 5 consecutive LPGA events after closing out the Chevron Championship yesterday for the second major of her career. She is the 3rd in tour history to win 5 in a row, and she is scheduled to play again this week. And a former Duke point guard, Jeremy Roach, is transferring to Baylor. Guys,
I'm fine.
Back to you.
Perloff had another Scottie Scheffler what if.
Yeah. So he's up 5 shots, 3 holes left, RBC, 8 a.m. It's now 8 a.m.
8 a.m., yeah.
Tee off. Please, please, God, make his wife go into labor now.
You want this story to happen so badly.
Well, I want
a 45-minute window that she would have to go into labor.
Because you think he's a phony, right?
90 minutes, right?
And you think he's bluffing?
I want to see him make this decision. Don't you? I mean, I would like, if somebody is out there saying, I am such a whatever, I'm such a good dad that I'm going to do this, I want him to be put to the test. Don't you guys want to see if he follows through?
What is it, $2 million on the line?
$3.6 million.
That's a pretty big purse.
For 3 holes. That's $1.2 million per hole.
He's got a 5-stroke lead, right?
Yeah, 5-stroke.
This is money in the bank.
Would you walk? Do you think he'll walk away? That, first of all, either way he wins because it's the ultimate walk away. And it's still, otherwise he wins $3 million.
He's not walking away. He's a phony. This was like they tried to make this a story last weekend at the Masters where he was like, my wife goes into labor, I'm leaving. It's like, buddy, no, you're not.
Well, this is how boring Scottie Scheffler is that we have to, this is the most interesting thing about him, which is having a kid, which is something that everyone in the world does. But no, Bogus and Bilotti are big on they would leave.
Oh, you guys are full of baloney.
Listen, I'm happy to lose this to you.
Don't go down this road with me.
You are a soulless human being.
You're right. Well, hold on. Ready? We'll do it here. Ready? We'll isolate this audio for your wife. Do 10 seconds of you saying, yes, I would leave because I'm a good person, and then we can get back to reality.
We did this last week, and Perloff threw 8,000 what-ifs at us, and the answer is always, I'm going.
You guys were like, I don't know, I watched that one Marvel movie, but whatever the person who's just like got the shield, Captain America, you're like that.
Literally the main character.
Yeah, that one. Deflecting every single possible what-if if your wife's in labor question. These two were adamant that.
I don't buy it for a second. If you're at the top, trying to win the pinnacle of your sports tournament, you're trying to win the Masters, or whatever other applicable situation you want, plus a purse of $3 million, $4 million, $5 million. Oh, sorry, honey. You know, we're $5 million now less richer because I had to watch you have a kid that everybody does every single day that you're going to do again.
Whoa. I was about to join your team, but you might be going on a little too heavy.
$5 million poorer is a very funny way to put it.
What if, okay.
$5 million poorer.
Pat, the one that I really thought I had them on was the Super Bowl, because if you're the quarterback and you leave because your wife's in labor, you're letting down your teammates. Does that mean anything to you guys?
No, the kid means more to me than anything.
Yeah, I don't want to let down my wife.
You got that kid forever, man.
Yeah, the kid, first of all, do you remember anything about your birth? No. The kid has no idea if you're there.
And by the way, have you ever seen the birthing process? That's something that you can't miss.
By the way, I'm a dad of two. What are you? Your child rearing philosophy, as we've learned on the radio, unfortunately, is to have as many as possible with as many women as possible, so hopefully one of them becomes a good kid and can take care of you in old age.
That's correct. Yeah. I'll be there for that kid when they're at their most important stages of life, not for something
like
that they're never going to remember.
Oh.
And then where your wife is in, you know, that's nobody wants to see that.
I know. Pat reminds me of somebody of someone who would actually have looked that up on YouTube and has watched and was watching.
We had to watch it in seventh grade.
Well, also,
the miracle of life. Pat, that was the miracle of destruction for me.
I think every child wants is dad parachuting in for their greatest moment.
No problems there.
Yeah, that never leads to anything.
Hey, Todd, nice to meet you. I'm your dad. Haven't been here for 18 years, but good luck in the draft today.
Why are you so angry?
Wait, you want someone to take care of your old, or you want a pro athlete? Which one is, if I give you a poll question, which one is more important to you?
What do you mean? Pro athlete or what?
The kid is going to be a pro athlete, or the kid, you really want someone to take care of you when you're old? Why do you want children, Pat?
I want my kid to be a pro athlete.
Got it.
If nobody takes, if I have a pro athlete child that then doesn't take care of me when I'm like 85 and I can't even, you know, can't even take myself to the bathroom, that's fine. I'll take that. Yeah. Throw me in the trash at that point.
But you can watch him on TV.
Yes.
Or her.
Dispose of me however you want at that point. I don't care.
Dispose of me.
You just get to be the big man who gets to brag about their kid.
Yeah, by the way, it doesn't really matter if they acknowledge you. I mean, a lot of these dads just show up anyway and climb onto the situation. I mean, Mahomes' dad, it certainly doesn't seem to be very friendly with the family. He's always there. No, Pat, I like your... I'm on Team Pat on this one. I would leave anything.
Pat,
thank you.
Here's a question with your philosophy here. Not the philosophy, rather the strategy. So the strategy is to have as many kids as possible in hopes that one of them becomes a professional athlete. Are you, like, figuring out where the WNBA players are hanging out? Are you going to the Team USA volleyball matches? Like, are you putting in the work? Because I imagine you need to marry and you want to procreate. Not marry. You want to procreate with someone who's also athletic.
Yeah.
If this is going to have any shot, because you're not a professional athlete. So you're going to have the woman's genes. I'm just calling it like it is. I'm sorry. Did I miss your career with the Yankees?
Professional athlete, yes.
Yeah,
he did play college baseball, so he's closer than the rest of us.
All right, then you're closer than the rest of us. But, okay, so are you, like, you know, hanging out at the St. John softball practices? You got to do your
part. Are you saying, like, am I scouting? Am I doing the scouting
report?
I'm
asking if you're doing the work is what I'm asking. Are you putting in the effort? Are you just hanging out at the bar, going home with whoever? You have no idea if she's got an athletic gene in her body or not.
I think if nothing else, like, if the worst case scenario, give me somebody who's 6'2". At least I have a chance.
So you're just going with height. You're just, you're just scouting. You're just doing eye tests.
Background information? Like, ideally, you know, I would choose somebody that's a professional athlete already, but beggars can't be choosers.
Okay. I have a scientific question.
Another great strategy.
I have a scientific question. I'm going to help Pat get off the hot seat here.
Okay.
Chef Matthew tweeted us, labor takes a while. Win the tourney, then get on your private jet and be there in plenty of time to cut the cord. I forget how long it took. I blanked out that whole period of my life.
Yeah, does and he it's have the time, first kid.
Does he so have time to win and get there? But that's a huge risk, right?
You never know what's going to happen.
You can't predict it.
You can't play God with these things, you know?
Yeah.
The joke's going to be on you.
Yeah, if he's in, I mean, if he left and didn't make it, that's why you say, too, leaving and not making the delivery, that's like a lose-lose.
Right?
You got to at least take the one easy layup and win the RBC.
Oh, like you're somewhere over Arkansas and she's going into labor
anyway? What if
anyway?
You left $3 million on the table and then was not there anyway? Then the kid is going to be mad. You're not going to get any money.
Thank you, Perloff. Thank you. Imagine that. You do the good thing. Oh, honey. I'm 45 minutes away from winning $6 million. Oh, sorry. I'm going to jump on the private jet and leave my entire dreams and goals behind. Oh, and then you don't even make the kid anyway. You don't even make it there in time. Not only are we now $5 million poor, now I missed it anyway.
Wait, Maggie, what about you?
Yeah.
So you have a different angle on this.
Yeah.
What do you think as a wife? Say your husband was on the brink of some big achievement. Would you tell him to come, just drop it and come?
I think the moment that you marry a professional athlete, you kind of understand a little of what you signed up for. I'm not saying that you can't have your opinions on it, no doubt. But your whole life, for the most part, unless you yourself are an athlete or you have your own career or whatever going on, for the most part, your life kind of revolves around the athlete. And I think this is for men who marry women who are athletes. Like, you're around their calendar, you're around their schedule, and especially if they're really good, like Scottie Scheffler, like, I mean, he's already made so many. You've already made so many sacrifices.
Wow.
What's this one?
I can't believe we got Pat, Maggie, and Pearl going up against Bilotti and Bogus. I didn't know. Yeah, this is, we're a formidable trio here. I think the public's with us, by the way.
Now, I did have someone reach out to me about this. We were talking about it last week, who said, you guys realize Scheffler had already won a green jacket.
Right.
So this was the second green jacket.
Oh, that.
Is that when you leave to go be with the kid?
This is a green jacket. No. I don't like that argument. Like, the chance to win the Masters, I mean, heck, I would stay for the RBC Heritage. If I was down three shots, I'd get a third.
Yes, we know. You're almost as heartless as Pat. It's a little
deflated this morning. That's like 800,000 to come in third place at this stupid tournament.
You think if Patrick Mahomes wins one Super Bowl, that's fine? He's okay with just winning one? Because he won one? That's a dumb argument, too. He won one Masters, so, it's his second. Oh, who cares?
It is a green jacket.
I like the idea that Perloff is actually at the hospital and just leaves anyway.
The real debate is I'm going to leave my couch when Scottie Scheffler is about to wrap this up to go to meet my wife. Because I'm watching it.
You got $50 on this thing.
Oh, by the way, Ravel, thank you.
What?
Did you see Darren Ravel was on Friday? We found out what really happened with the Masters, Steve. Somebody had an Arnold Palmer green jacket.
Oh, I never saw the follow-up.
He hinted that he had a good story.
I asked if it was a tight... Okay, so there was an employee who was an inside job working at Augusta National who, over a series of, 8 years or so, had been stealing things, either merchandise or actual memorabilia, and had been taken across state lines for the purpose of selling it.
Yeah.
This person is in major, major trouble. And he asked Ravel, and he's like, oh, I can't tell you exactly what it is yet. Whatever. So... I was like, oh, was it a Tiger Woods jacket? And he said, no, it was an Arnold Palmer jacket.
It was an Arnold Palmer green jacket.
That takes a set to steal Arnold Palmer's jacket right out of the humidor.
Almost cooler than a Tiger jacket. I mean, the both of them are probably worth a lot of money. Yeah, where do you just wear it? You can't sell it probably, so you just have to wear it around.
Dinner at the Cracker Barrel? Where are you wearing this thing?
Yeah. Dinner. Hey, what's the deal with that jacket? Oh, it's Arnold Palmer's second Masters.
Arnie gave it to me.
His wife was about to give birth, but Arnie is, had priorities set straight.
Back in Arnie's day, I don't think men showed up to the hospital even if they had nothing to do.
Arnie rolled into the labor room smoking a cigarette, looking cool.
Yeah. With an iced tea and a lemonade.
Yeah.
Hey, lady, you done yet with this thing? Let's go. I want to name him Jack.
Arnold Palmer turned into Tony Soprano right there. It's the Cowboy Quickie Music, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. It is our job to update you on all things Dallas Cowboys all the time. The latest comes Friday night. This was a charity event. Dak Prescott talking about how no real negotiations have started between his camp and the Dallas Cowboys. He also said about life after Dallas, I don't have any fears. I'm not going to say I fear being here or not. I don't fear either situation, to be candid with you. I love the game. I love to play. I love to better myself as a player, my teammates around me. Right now, it's the Dallas Cowboys. That's where I want to be. That's where I am. That's the focus. After the season, we'll see where we're at and if the future holds that. If not, we go from there. So basically, I think Dak has really braced himself here and is maybe even looking forward to free agency or closest to, right? Where he can basically hit the open market. I think Dak would welcome this.
Because do you think he's betting on himself?
I absolutely think he's betting on himself. And I think that if he puts together another good season, he's looking at a massive payday. Look at what Kirk Cousins just got coming off of an Achilles tear.
But here's where I'm confused. I got to be honest, I'm a little confused by this whole thing. Because he also said in the same thing that I've talked to Jerry Jones and we're in a really good place. So
but no,
how is that possible? What does
real
that mean?
Negotiations.
Well, maybe a good place for him is, I'm going to free agency. Maybe. But that just feels so weird that I understand the logic. They're just going to let him go. But what does Dallas get out of this? A bunch of dead cap and nothing? So Dallas is really going to let him walk.
Yeah.
It's just hard for me to wrap my head around him. I understand it. I understand the logic. It just feels like, okay, we're all, it's like a divorce where everybody's happy. Like, yes, this is a mutual, we're happy because we're moving on. It doesn't work like that in real life. It has to be, somebody's feelings have to be heard here.
You can't consciously uncouple or whatever?
Yeah, no, it just feels like Dak is like, yeah, this is fine. Me and Jerry are in a good place. I have no contract. I'm fine. And it seems like the Cowboys are doing what they want to do. It just, the whole thing seems too smooth for me, Maggie.
That's
these quotes
Cowboys
are just like, yeah, like Dak seems completely unbothered by this. How can he, is that possible?
Well, I mean, who are the last guys who have really bet on themselves? I mean,
Kirk Cousins and Dak.
And how's it worked out for them? They're rich beyond belief and they have no Super Bowls to show for it. And nobody cares because, and they will continue to get rich. Because I think if Dak Prescott hit the open market, you, especially if it's next year and what we think is going to be a maybe quote-unquote down year for quarterbacks in the draft, he's going to have multiple suitors. Yeah. It only takes two, or one, I guess, but to drive the price up. But he's going to have multiple suitors.
Yeah, he'll get $50 million a year.
Easy.
I agree.
So, like, why even mess around? And I think for the Cowboys, they've misplayed this whole thing. Unless they really want to move on after this with Dak and Mike McCarthy both in walk years and they want to do this clean slate and break. My question is, where's your next quarterback coming from? Because even if they take a guy in the second round or late first round this year, are you sure this is going to be the, I mean, late first round, okay. But if it's a third round or later, that's not real.
Well,
you know,
maybe
that's a lottery ticket.
But they do have, and they're talking a lot about this guy, they have Trey Lance as their mid-round quarterback. So I think they'll try and sell that to the fan base as a possible successor. And let's be honest, he was a former number three overall pick. Maybe he is a successor. We've never seen him play for more than two games. There's nothing to judge on anything there.
And no garbage time, no nothing. We didn't see him at all this year.
Yeah, yeah. That's, well, we'll see him a little bit in camp. We'll see him in preseason. So maybe that's their future lottery ticket thing. No, it's interesting. If Dak gets to the free agent market, you know, you got to think that somebody else would be, maybe they go in for an Aaron Rodgers next year. Maybe they try and find, you know, I'm surprised you haven't even brought this up yet. Why, maybe they talk Tom Brady out of retirement. Or maybe
look at what you're saying.
I'm
these
just saying,
are not good options.
Well, right. But I think that it must be they're so tired of losing playoff games with Dak that they're looking ahead. It just strikes me as just way too harmonious. All these quotes, he's like, yeah, this is, I'm happy whatever they do. Like, I mean, Dak is smooth, but... isn't
why
it
would
more,
he be happy? He's got
all
the leverage
feel like,
here.
But it's just weird. Basically, going back to Dallas this year, knowing the team doesn't want him, most players would be affected by that. And Dak seems completely merry about the whole situation.
I think he's genuinely be looking forward to it. Because think about it. Even the last, I just don't even think if you get injured, it matters. So let's just play this out. We're talking about Dak Prescott and the Cowboys in the future. Let's play this out. And let's say Dak does get hurt. And name whatever time of the season, early, middle, late. Say he gets hurt, the Falcons just showed you it doesn't matter. Like they don't care.
Yep.
They'll give $70 million guaranteed or whatever to Kirk Cousins coming off the Achilles. Aaron Rodgers, who ended up taking a pay cut a little bit with the Jets, but still making tons of money. You don't think somebody, if he was a free agent right now, that people would be banging down the door with him coming off an Achilles? So unless Dak is like, you know, gets decapitated, I don't know how he's actually going to lose money here.
No, you're right. He should be confident about that. It's a good point. What about, I got another team, the Giants, because they'll need a quarterback next season, and Dak owns the Commanders and the Eagles.
Listen, it's all that, on the table.
There are a lot of good spots. The Seahawks.
Well, Dak Prescott and Bill Belichick with the Giants.
Yeah, how about the Seahawks with Dak Prescott sort of go out west? Arizona, because I'm sure they're done with Kyler at some point soon.
Again, you could pencil Dak Prescott because...
Now I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, think about... And this is why another reason why the Cowboys would have totally blown this. Because you've seen teams that you can sucker in to give you everything for quarterbacks in their 30s. See, Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson. You can find a team that's going to give you everything.
For Dak Prescott?
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. So that's another
teams
angle.
Get desperate, and the Cowboys are going to get, if they do part ways with Prescott, it's bubkis. You don't even get anything. So you messed up the contract negotiations twice with Dak Prescott, and you don't even have anything to show for your asset. Oh, my gosh.
Well, they were never.
Who's in charge over there?
Nobody was going to trade for Dak Prescott.
He would be a huge commodity. He'd probably get 3 first-round picks.
For Dak, no. Not, I mean...
Russell Wilson got...
I think Dak is viewed as overpaid by the rest of the league.
I think he's seen as a proven by the rest of the league.
Well, now no one is going to want to sit there and say, let's bring in Dak Prescott and have to pay him $55 million. That is not as popular as you might think.
I mean, the Browns did it with Deshaun Watson. Yeah, Denver did it with Russell Wilson.
Well, the Denver thing is crazy, but the Deshaun was way more valuable than Dak.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.